no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. On this episode of the Relic Radio Show, our hour begins with the Silver Theater, their story, The Amazing Mr. Williams, that first aired April 19th, 1942. After that, it's Luke Slaughter of Tombstone and Big Business, his story from June 8th, 1958.
International Silver Company presents the Silver Theater, starring Jack Benny and Mary Livingston in The Amazing Mr. Williams. Brought to you by International Sterling, world-famous solid silver. And here with a word for you is the director of Silver Theater, Conrad Nagel.
Thank you, Henry Charles. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Silver Theater, friends. Well, tonight is Silver Theater's last dramatic broadcast for this season, and your favorite radio team, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston, is here to help make this farewell show a happy and hilarious one. In just a moment, the curtain will go up on Act One. But before it does, we're going to do a little quick delving into the past of John Keats, the poet. It was he who penned those simple words, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever." And that thought seems to us a very excellent stage setting for what Henry Charles is here to tell you about.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it would almost seem that those words were written about International Sterling's Royal Danish Satin. For Royal Danish is a thing of beauty, and to every woman who owns it, will be a joy forever. Perhaps it's the cool elegance of that plain, lustrous shaft, or the richness of that coronet-like tip. Perhaps it's no one detail, but the resplendent loveliness of all that makes International Sterling's Royal Danish the love of your life the instant you see it. At any rate, it's a pattern well worth seeing, and one you can see if you'll visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday. So be sure to make that visit, won't you? And see if you don't agree that one of the loveliest patterns ever to come from the hand of a silversmith is International Sterling's Royal Danish.
And now the silver curtain rises on Act One of The Amazing Mr. Williams. Adapted from the Columbia picture by Frank Galen, Keith Fowler, and Sam Perrin. It stars Jack Benny as Jack Williams and Mary Livingston as Mary Carroll. At police headquarters in a certain large city, Chief of Detectives McGovern is in conference with one of his men, Jack Williams. Detective Williams is known to the department as the Amazing Mr. Williams, and with some reason, for he's the only detective in the entire city whose record is 100%.
Yes, Williams, a perfect record.
I guess it is, Chief.
It's amazing. 5 years on the force, and not once, even by accident, have you solved a case or caught a criminal.
I know, sir.
For half a century, the motto of this department was, crime doesn't pay. Then you joined the force.
Oh, gee whiz, give me a break, Inspector. One of these days, I'll walk in here with the Phantom Slugger himself.
Sure. You'll walk in here with the crook who's terrorized this town for 6 months when not one other man in my department has even caught sight of him. The boys should hear that.
Oh, the boys are jealous, that's all. Ever since I came in here, they've been after my head.
Now, what would they do with a thing like that?
Why, they'd... Look, I just had a few bad breaks, Chief.
Oh, sure. What about the time the Fifth National Bank was held up and you brought in a suspicious-looking character you found on the scene of the crime?
Well, how did I know J. Edgar Hoover had an account at that bank? Edgar, not Edgar.
I don't know.
You make me nervous, that's what it is.
I don't know why I put up with you, Williams. That girlfriend of yours comes in here every week and begs me to fire you.
Oh, Mary's just sore because my work keeps me so busy. She's really crazy about me, Chief. That's why I've got to make good in this department.
Okay, Williams, but I'm warning you. The next time you fall down on an assignment, you're fired.
Oh, pardon me, Chief. I thought you were alone.
I am, practically. What is it?
The boys just picked up Knuckles Mosby on that warehouse job. He ain't talking so far.
He will when I get through with him. Send him in here.
Okay, Chief.
Chief, do me a favor, will you? Give me a chance at Knuckles Mosby. I can make him sing.
You?
Sure, I won't need a rubber hose or anything. I'll go to work on him with my bare fist. He'll talk or I'll beat him to a... Say, he's going to be handcuffed, isn't he?
Sure.
Well, he'll talk or I'll beat him to a pulp. What do you say, Chief? It's my big chance.
Okay, okay.
Here he is, Chief.
Yeah, quick, Kevin.
We're leaving you with Williams, Knuckles. See you later.
Well, Knuckles, I'm going to ask you a few questions, see? And I want straight answers, you understand? Now, sit down.
Who are you, a new cop around here?
Of course not. Been on the force 5 years. Now, look.
Hey, what'd you do before you became a bull?
Me? I worked in a shoe store at Matheson. You know, the one on 8th and Hill. Now, look.
So you sold shoes, huh?
Well, for the first 3 months, I just sold shoe laces and polish, you know. You know, accessories, see? Then, of course, after that, they put me in the shoe department. Now, look.
Any dough in that racket?
Well, I made about... Now, cut that out! I'm asking the questions. Now, what do you know about that warehouse job, Knuckles?
Oh, you too, huh? I thought you might be different from the rest of these cops.
What are you talking about?
The way they've been hounding me. Cops like McGovern. Everywhere I go, they just hound me.
Oh, don't hand me that stuff.
But it's the truth. I'm the cleanest, straightest man in the country. They just keep on hounding me. They got it in for me, I tell you. They got it in for me. They just won't leave me alone.
They won't?
All on account of I made a little bit of a mistake when I was a kid.
Gee, what'd you do?
Well, one night, more for a lark than anything else, I swiped $100,000 off a mail train.
You mean when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Gee, it's a thing any adolescent child might do.
I went to jail. Pretty near killed my poor little old white-haired mother.
I know.
And my poor little old white-haired father, all I could do was wave to him.
Wave to him?
Yeah. They put me in the same day they let him out.
Oh, that's awful.
But I've gone straight ever since. But will cops like McGovern believe it? No. He tries to pin every job in town on me. And now this warehouse thing. I'm innocent, Mr. Williams. I'm innocent.
I believe you, son. And I'll see what I can do for you.
Gee, you're a peach.
Well, Williams, anything to say?
I hate you, McGovern. Hate you. Do you hear? I hate you.
A waiter.
Yes, madame.
I'll order now. I've waited long enough for that. Oh, hold it a second. Here he comes.
Hello, Mary. Sorry, I'm a little late.
A little late? I thought this was another stand-up.
Oh, no. You see, I was grilling a suspect, and I...
You mind if I order a drink?
No, go right ahead. Anything you want.
Yes, madame.
I'll have a champagne cocktail.
Two beers, waiter. Yes, sir. You know my views on champagne, Mary. It's definitely not good for the system. Now, where was I?
You were saving 90 cents on the drink.
Was not. It's just a matter of health.
Oh, by the way, did McGovern give you a little hint that maybe you ought to resign or something?
What do you mean, hint?
Oh, something subtle like, you're fired, bum.
Nobody's firing me, not with the good work I did today. Imagine those dumb cops were going to railroad a man to jail until I found out he was innocent.
You found out?
Yes, and besides, I just thought up a great way to catch the phantom slugger.
You mean that guy who sneaks up to women on the street and kisses them while he steals their pocketbook?
That's the guy.
You don't know where he can be found, do you?
Of course I don't. Why?
I've got a girlfriend that wants to get robbed.
Oh, you mean Effie. Don't forget, he won't give him a chance to yell for help. After he kisses him, he knocks him unconscious.
Well, on Effie, it won't show. Anyway, what's your big idea?
Look, have one of the detectives dress up in women's clothes and hang around where the phantom slugger's been working. Then when he attacks, bang, our boy nabs him.
Unless bang, no boy.
Don't be silly. It's a great idea. And I'm going to tell McGovern about it today.
You're not going to tell anything to anybody except me. You've broken 3 dates in a row on account of the silly cops and robbers game, and that's all, understand?
But, Mary...
You break our date tonight, and I'll never speak to you again. That's final. Now, remember, 8 o'clock, and I mean 8.
Thank goodness I'm only engaged to her. Certainly hate to be married to a girl like that. Huh? Hey, Chief! Oh, Chief! Over here.
Oh, hello, Williams. I've got a little assignment for you tonight.
Oh, not tonight, Chief. I've got a date.
That's right. You've got a date to take Knuckles Mosby over to the county clink.
Knuckles Mosby? But he's innocent, Chief.
Innocent? I interviewed him after you left, and no sooner did I get my coat off than he confessed to the warehouse job and four other jobs we didn't even suspect him of.
Well, I'll be darned. And he told me he was the cleanest, straightest man in the country. I can imagine him being a crook and maybe even a murderer. Gee, I never dreamed he was a liar. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I nearly forgot. I have more news for you.
What?
Starting tomorrow, you're going to be an assistant deputy under detective.
An assistant deputy under detective?
Yeah. You see, there was nothing left to demote you to, so we had to make something up. Well, so long.
Well, at least I'm still on the force. Even if they do make me wear my badge on my shorts. Gee, how am I going to show it when I have to arrest somebody? Oh, well, Mary will kill me if I don't show up.
You've got no right to do this to me, Williams.
Oh, be a sport, Knuckles. It's only for a few hours. I had to show up tonight or my girl would never speak to me again.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to be delivered to the clink.
You will be as soon as we're finished here. Now, remember, you're my old college chum, Charlie Jones.
Well, ain't they going to know I never went to no college?
How can they tell?
Well, all right. Hey, what's the name of your base girlfriend again?
Effie. Okay, here we go. Remember now, my old college pal, Charlie Jones. And don't try to escape.
I don't like this. I'm supposed to be in a clink.
Oh, hello, Jack. Mary Seth. Oh, my goodness, a man.
Yes, this is Charlie Jones, Effie, an old college friend of mine. Charlie, this is Effie.
Oh, Mr. Jones, I'm so glad to meet you.
Hey, I know my rights, Williams. I'm supposed to be...
Shut up! Did you say Mary was dressing, Effie?
I was, but I'm ready now. Hey, who's this?
Oh, this is my old friend, Charlie Jones. Mary Carol, Charlie. See, Charlie and I went to school together.
Yeah, that's right, babe, Harvard. How do you do?
Split me some skin, brother. I'm from Vassar.
Mary, stop clowning. Well, what do we do tonight, kids? Any suggestions?
Look, Williams, take me where I'm supposed to go. The warden is expecting me.
Warden?
Air raid warden. Air raid warden. Now, come on, let's go to a movie.
Tell me, Mr. Jones, how long have you known Jack?
Oh, about 10 years.
Let him answer.
All right, go ahead, Charlie, answer.
Oh, I've knew Jack ever since we was in college together.
You ever get a Phi Beta Kappa?
Oh, no, ma'am. We had inoculations.
Yes, yes. They gave all new members inoculations.
That must have been to keep them from breaking out.
Mary, will you stop?
Sure, I'll stop. Now that I know what I wanted to know, I'll answer.
Good evening. Yes, I see he is.
Why, Chiefy, imagine seeing you here.
Yes, and imagine seeing Knuckles Mosby here.
Knuckles Mosby? I knew everything but the name.
You mean he didn't go to Harvard at all?
No, he graduated from a small college in San Francisco Bay.
Come on, let's get going.
Well, Chief, I hope you'll fire Jack now. He certainly proved that he's the worst cop on the force.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. He did come up with a pretty good idea today.
What was that?
He figured we might catch the Phantom Slugger if we sent a detective out on the street dressed like a woman.
Oh, yeah, kind of like that one, eh, Chiefy? You gonna try it?
Yeah, but with a different angle. We ain't gonna send a detective out dressed like a woman. The Phantom is dangerous, and I don't want to lose a good man.
Yeah, that's right. Who are you gonna send out?
You.
Well, I think you couldn't have made a... Yikes! Me?
Yes, you, and this is your last chance. Come on, Knuckles.
Me? Where did he get that stuff? He can't get away with that. Imagine me dressed in women's clothes. What are you laughing at?
Now where are you going to pin your badge?
I'll find a place. I'll find a place. Don't worry about it.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of Act One of tonight's Silver Theater story, The Amazing Mr. Williams. For many months now, it's been our pleasure and privilege to spend this moment of intermission between the acts talking with you about the beauty of International Sterling Silver. And we hope that when it comes time for you to choose your own family silver, You'll remember what you heard on our Sundays together. Perhaps even more particularly, we hope you'll remember the down-to-earth facts about this lovely Sterling that Henry Charles is here to remind you of now.
Those facts, ladies and gentlemen, are that International Sterling Silver is not prohibitively expensive as its beauty and gifted craftsmanship might make you think. In many patterns, you can get a starting service for four persons for as little as $74. Individual place settings of six pieces each, which offer a grand way to build a family service, start as low as $18.75, while gifts of forks or spoons in sets of four come to around $15 per set. And remember what an important Sterling International is. It's solid silver made by the world's foremost silver house, by craftsmen whose New England predecessors made the first coin silver spoons over 100 years ago. That's a background that can't help but fill any woman's heart with pride and affection. So plan ahead now for your own family Sterling. Visit your silverware dealer and learn firsthand how easy and thrilling it is to own silver as impressive as any the world has ever created. International Sterling Silver.
And now the silver curtain rises on the second act of The Amazing Mr. Williams, starring Jack Benny and Mary Livingston. So, Chief McGovern took over the job, transforming Jack into a dainty example of American womanhood. Mary graciously lent them her dressing room for the foundation work and promised to drop in and check up on the finer points. With the hopeful persistence of a condemned man, Jack is still begging for a reprieve.
Oh, please, Chief, don't make me go through with this. I don't want to put on that dress.
Come on, come on. Crawl into this ensemble.
A little like Harris there. I won't do it, Chief. I'm perfectly willing to die in harness, but not in a girdle.
Okay. Okay, quit and give the taxpayers a break. Mary's right. You'll never make a cut.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll show both of you a thing or two. Give me that dress.
Here. Stick your arm through these holes. Okay, that does it. How does it fit?
Hey, not bad. Of course, it's a little loose in the front.
We'll fix here. That.
So Mary thinks I'm not a cop, eh? Give me that powder puff.
Atta girl, Williams.
Darn this powder. Can't understand how it gets up my nose when I put it under my arm. I guess women are built differently. Who's that?
It's me, Jack. Are you decent?
Yeah, come in. Well, how do I look, Mary?
First time I ever saw Whistler's mother standing up.
Well, I did the best I could.
And you've got your wig on crooked.
Well, how am I supposed to know about those things? It's the first time I've ever worn a wig.
Are you kidding?
No, stop, huh?
Well, I'm leaving, Williams. You know the only description we have of the slugger. About 5'8", sallow skin, and usually wears a tweed suit.
A new suit or an old suit?
What's the difference?
Cuff. I get around, you know.
Just remember his description, and don't bother to keep in touch with us. We'll keep in touch with the hospital.
Well, Mary, what about my makeup? Do you think the slugger will go for me?
Which way do you mean?
You know what I mean. Do I look kissable?
I don't know. Take a look in the mirror and see for yourself.
All right, I will. Well, not bad. Not bad at all.
I might have known you'd be your type.
Well, I'm leaving. And Mary, I'm going to bring back the Phantom Slugger, or my name ain't Jacqueline Williams.
Wait a minute, Jack.
Yeah?
You're going on a dangerous mission. You know that, don't you?
Yeah?
Perhaps into the jaws of death.
Yeah?
Well, before you go, there's something I ought to tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
Your slip is showing.
Thanks, kid. Gee, this is getting to be awful. 2 days and no sign of the slugger. There's a prospect. About 5'8" and he's wearing a tweed suit. Well, here goes.
How do you do? Lovely day, isn't it?
Do I know you?
Well, do I look like the sort of a girl who would talk to strange men?
You look like the sort of a girl that'd talk to any man.
You big tease. Didn't you dance with me the other night at the Palladium?
Not me, sister. Now beat it before I call a cop.
Okay, okay.
Huh?
Okay, okay.
You heard me. Darn it, I thought sure the sluggers hang around this park. Well, there's a seat on that bench. Guess I'll take a load off my wedgies.
May I sit down here, madam?
Such a question. I've been wishing for someone to sit by me and talk.
Thanks, but I'm much, much too tired to talk.
Oh, you got spots in the eyes. A droopy feeling, maybe.
That's right.
I know. With me, it's always the same way. Tell me, this is your voice.
This is my what?
Can a woman keep a secret from a woman? I know it the minute I saw you.
Are you here?
Don't be bashful. Nature is nature.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please, don't get excited. Right now, it tastes good for you. And believe me, you shouldn't be scared. I remember my voice like it was yesterday. At 2 o'clock, Irving called me back. And while we were...
Pardon me, but I've got to go.
Bye. Come on. Oh. Be running like that.
I had to see you, Chief. 5 days, no word from Jack. What's happened to him?
I don't know. Why do you always worry about a clown like him?
Well, this is different. Suppose some man's got him in a rumble seat and offers him a bracelet or something.
Don't be ridiculous.
I know Jack. He'll take the bracelet and then try to fight his way out.
Well, don't worry. We keep a check on every place he goes.
Where is he now?
The last I heard, he was hanging around a little dump called the Pink Lizard Bar on Vine Street. He's been there a lot, so we figure he has a line on the Slugger.
The Pink Lizard?
That's right. Quite a place, too. The safest drink to order there is a Mickey Finn.
Thanks, Chief. You've been a big help.
What'll it be this time, folks?
Oh, I'll have another Pink Lizard champagne cocktail.
Look, lady, I ain't complaining, but them champagne cocktails are beginning to run in the dough. How about a beer?
No. I'd rather have champagne.
You know, champagne is no good for the system.
Are you nuts?
Okay. Set them up, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Don't get me wrong, lady. I really ain't one of them tight guys. I got no use for tight guys.
Oh, me either.
They ain't gentlemen.
Well, they certainly ain't.
Any tight guy's a bum, ain't he? Ain't it?
Let's change the subject.
Okay, let's talk about you. You're pretty nifty. Hey, why do we want to stay in this dump anyhow? Let's go over to my place where we can be more private-like.
Oh, you men are all alike. You all want a girl to come up to your apartment and look at your granulated sugar.
Oh, come on. Let's get out of here.
Naughty, naughty!
Oh, come on.
Why, Christy Hicks. How are you, darling? I haven't seen you in ages.
Oh. Hello, Mary.
You little devil. Still flirting with men, I see.
Who's the rent?
Oh, just a girl I know.
All right, she ain't bad. Maybe she'd like to come over to my place, too, huh?
Would you mind if I whisper to her for a minute?
No, go right ahead.
I don't know what your idea is, Mary, but get out and get out fast. This guy is a phantom slug.
Well, why don't you arrest him?
He's got a gun. I'm trying to get a mellow first.
On his champagne yet. Lucky I found out where you were, Jack. I'll have the slugger eating out of my hand in 5 minutes.
Oh, you keep out of it.
Well, it's all settled. Trixie has decided to drop out of the party.
Good.
Fine. Now, you come over to my house, mister, and I'll make you some fudge.
Don't listen to her. Come over to my house, and I'll make you some fudge with walnuts.
I'll make you some fudge with walnuts and raisins.
Well, I'll make you some fudge with walnuts and raisins and chopped liver.
Fight over me, girls. I love it.
I'll bet plenty of girls have fought over a real tough guy like you.
What makes you think I'm a tough guy?
Oh, you can't fool me. I can see that gun under your coat.
Now, you ain't so dumb.
I'm crazy about guns. Could I see yours?
Sure, sister. Here you are.
Hey, look out. Look out. Don't point that thing at me.
Wait a minute. What happened to your voice, Trixie?
My voice? Why, I just got a little nervous, Slugger. I mean, mister.
Slugger, huh? So that's it. You ain't a dame at all. You're a cop.
Well, I'm not a very good cop.
Maybe not, but you're going to be a very dead cop. Nobody can get funny with me. Hey, what's going on here? What's that guy doing laying on the floor?
I hit him with a bottle.
But did you slug the dame, too?
No, she fainted.
Well, Mary, here we are in the bridal suite. How does it feel to be Mrs. Jack Williams?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Should be wonderful. She costs $20 a day. It's our first night together, and nothing is going to spoil it. Darn it, who can that be?
Maybe the bellboy is bringing your tip back.
Why should he bring it back?
Why should he go all the way to Canada to spend it?
I gave him that Canadian dime because he looked like the kind of a kid who might have a coin collection. Come in.
Hello, Williams. I'm sorry.
Oh,
but...
no, Chief. No, no. You promised. Don't take me away from here tonight. This is my wedding night.
Who wants you? I came to get married.
Me?
Yeah, we made you a deputy on account of the swell job you did on the Slugger.
What?
And there's a murder on the south side that has a sort of a woman's angle. Of course, if you're not interested...
Not interested? Where's my hat? Where's my coat?
You... You're going?
I'll say I am. It's the call of duty.
But what'll I do here all by myself?
You can play gin rummy with a bellboy. See you in the morning. Good night, dear.
$12 for a pair of red satin pajamas to play gin rummy in. Oh, well. Hello, operator. Give me the room clerk. Room clerk, cancel this suite until tomorrow. I'm going to YMCA. What? But it's just like it was when I came in. Look, I didn't even sit on it. But I haven't even opened my suitcase. Look, if I'm not going to pay $20 for a bridal suite, I can't do it.
Thank you, Jack, Benny, and Mary Livingston for a swell show. You finished up our season for us in a burst of glory. Well, now for a very special program announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Beginning next week and continuing during the summer months, International Sterling plans to bring you a specially noteworthy program of news called This is London, and featuring the chief of Columbia's European news staff, Ed Murrow. His book, This is London, has been widely read and acclaimed, and his radio talks with the man in the street in London have been popular with Americans for a long, long time. Mr. Murrow will continue these broadcasts direct from London every Sunday night at this time over most of these same stations. To those of our friends who will not be reached by Silver Theater's news program during the summer, we hope we'll be back together again in the fall. And now, before I say goodnight and a temporary goodbye, let me say again to everyone else, be sure to listen to Ed Murrow, broadcasting from London, next Sunday night. Good night.
In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. Whenever you buy silver, be sure it's created by the world's foremost silver house, International. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I've got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory, from Yuma to Fort Defiance, From Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected, or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. It was early when Wichita and I started out for Fort Huachuca. Too early. But an Apache runner had come to my ranch in the night with news I didn't like. And I had to see Colonel Nickerson right away.
Hey, listen to that, Luke. Them soldiers are still wrestling their blankets. And here you've had me up for 3 hours already.
Well, now that's too bad, Wichita.
If anyone was to ask me, I'd say the life of an army man would be a gold braided snap compared to traveling with Luke Slaughter.
Now, did I ask you to come out here this morning, Wichita?
Well,
now, did I?
Well, I thought you did.
Well, think again.
Well, might be Colonel Nickerson will throw you into the guardhouse for waking him.
You hope. Here's his quarters. Oh, hold
on.
Okay. You wait here, Wichita.
If you're in there too long, I might join up with this outfit for a rest.
Suit yourself. Good morning, Corporal.
Good morning, sir.
Luke Slaughter to see Colonel Nickerson.
Yes, sir. Have a seat, Mr. Slaughter.
Well, now, I guess you're new here, son. I'll see him now.
But, sir, he's still in bed.
Well, then it was time he was up.
But, sir...
Who is it?
It's me, Nick. Luke Slaughter. Come on, now, get up. I want to talk to you.
Luke Slaughter. You hidebound cattle rustler, what are you doing up this early? This isn't the siege of Vicksburg, you know.
Yeah, and you peacetime soldiers take it too easy.
I tried to stop him, sir.
Oh, it's all right, Corporal. He's an old campaigning sidekick of mine. I think I can handle him.
Yes, sir.
What's got you up so early in the morning, Luke?
Nick, I got a message from Chief Mangus last night. He says his Braves are going to hit the warpath over the government beef cutbacks.
I didn't know it was that serious.
What are you going to do about it, Nick?
Me? What can I do about it, Luke? I'm Army. I take orders.
Well, there's something I can do, if you'll help me.
What is it?
Get permission for me to go make a treaty with Chief Mangus.
You mean wire Washington?
That's right.
I don't know, Luke. The War Department doesn't take kindly to field officers making recommendations on policy.
I know, Nick. But something's got to be done, and fast.
What kind of a treaty do you have in mind?
Chief Mangus has something the Cattlemen's Association wants, and we have what he wants.
What's that, Luke?
We'll give his people beef and money in return for the use of their grazing land.
Well, they already have that deal.
What do you mean?
You're head of the Cattlemen's Association, and you don't know that T.J. Campbell's running a herd on the San Carlos Reserve right now?
No, I didn't.
Well, he is. 2,000 head.
But the Association hasn't made any agreement with the Apaches.
I don't know about that, but according to Campbell, he's got an agreement with an Apache named Lona.
Lona. I know him. He can't make treaties. Only Chief Mangus speaks for the Apaches. This whole thing's illegal.
Of course it's illegal. That's why I'm sending a detail up to the San Carlos today to run the cattle off.
You'd better hurry. If Mangus hears about this, he's sure to hit the warpath. Who's in charge of your detail?
Lieutenant Baker. Why?
Mind if I go with him?
What for?
Before I deal with Mangus, I'd like to set this Lona straight.
Luke, I don't like this.
Why not?
Because you're mixing in something that's Apache against Apache. You might set off a full-fledged Indian war.
Nick, that'd be better than what Mangus wants.
What's that?
Apache against white man. I'll go with Baker.
Luke.
Yeah, Nick.
Make it unofficial, will you?
Yes, Colonel. Wichita and I'll just happen to run into the lieutenant and his men.
Good.
Oh, and, Nick, you can do something for me.
What's that?
Send that wire to Washington. It'd be nice to have their blessings on a treaty with Mangus.
Stubborn cuss, you're going ahead anyway, aren't you?
Sure. What did you expect?
For you to go ahead. Good luck.
Lieutenant Baker turned out to be a fuzzy-chinned young fellow with all the deceptive confidence manufactured by the United States Military Academy at West Point.
Apache country was no place for him. I found myself wanting to turn him back.
Sonny boy, was you aiming to butcher these cattle with them swords? Or just turn them around and drive them back onto Campbell's Ridge?
What do you mean, old-timer?
Don't you old-timer me, you pipe-stemmed young whippersnapper.
Wichita.
Well, he don't need to talk.
I didn't mean anything by it, old man.
But there he goes again, Luke. Now, I ain't taking this kind of talk.
Honest, Mr. Slaughter, I don't know how to talk to these old coots.
So
I mean,
Now, listen, sonny boy. You better start fanning your men out to point that herd.
All right, Wichita. I'll do it.
Well, somebody's got to keep this army in line.
So you appointed yourself.
Well, ain't nobody else to do it. Now what's he doing?
All right, men. Here are your orders.
Here are your orders.
Sergeant Thomas, take 5 men to the left flank. Sergeant Smith,
you.
5 to the right. Point that herd into the canyon.
Here's
rest
your
of your
orders. Luke, why don't he just say, rassle them in, boys, like
if any
decent cowboy?
If herders give you trouble, shoot them and argue later. All right, move up!
Wichita.
Yeah?
Now that I've actually seen Campbell's herd on Indian land, I want you to go back to Tombstone.
What for?
I want you to call a meeting of the Cattlemen's Association for this afternoon. And I especially want T.J. Campbell there.
All right. But what you gonna do?
Find Lona. Now get going.
I'm on my way. Come on, horse, get.
I rode into the rock-strewn foothills of the San Carlos Reserve. I dismounted and studied the cliffs above me for the logical place to watch the action below. I knew that when I found it, I'd find Lona. I decided to take the long chance and approach him unarmed, so I left my guns in my saddlebag and started climbing quietly towards the craggy site. He was lying face down on the edge of the cliff, watching Baker's men work the cattle below. Lona!
I am Okata.
No, put the knife down. I didn't come to fight you. I'm unarmed.
Lona not put knife down. Lona kill Slaughter.
I'm friend of the Indians.
Slaughter come with soldiers. Soldiers steal cattle. Lona watch them.
No, they're not stealing them, Lona. Those cattle are not allowed to graze on the reserve.
Lona let them. Lona make rules here.
Mangus is the chief. He makes the rules for the Apache tribe.
Mangus? Mangus old man. Mangus brain like little child. Make bad treaty for Apache. Lona make good treaty with Mr. Campbell. Lona soon be chief.
Campbell cannot make a treaty with you. Only the Cattlemen's Association can make a treaty.
Lona tired of talk. Lona kill Slaughter. Cut you up good with knife.
You missed, Lona. Don't try it again. Your tribe wouldn't think much of you for killing an unarmed man.
Lona tell it different. Lona kill Slaughter now.
No! Take that knife. The knife. Drop it. Drop it, I said. All right. Stand up.
You kill Lona now?
No. Just warning you. Stay away from Campbell. Neither of you has a right to make treaties. You understand?
Lona, here, Slaughter.
See that you remember it.
Lona, get you. Lona, get you good, strong man, Slaughter.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. What lies ahead for a brand new American? How does the future look for the 11,000 new Americans born every day? Well, it couldn't look better. With more factories producing more goods for our mushrooming population, America is going places. Send for a free illustrated booklet, Your Great Future in a Growing America. Drop a card to Box 1776, Grand Central Station, New York, 17, New York. And now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
I see you found everybody, Wichita.
Yeah, Luke, all of them, but I've been having a hard time holding them.
Campbell?
Yeah?
I see you made it all right.
For sure, Slaughter. Why are you singling me out?
You'll find out. Gentlemen, I'm calling this meeting of the Cattlemen's Association of Arizona for one purpose. The expulsion of T.J. Campbell from the association for breaking our agreement with the federal government not to run cattle on the San Carlos Reserve.
What are you talking about?
I'm not finished. Also, because T.J. Campbell is guilty of making a private arrangement for his own personal gain.
Well, wait up now. Sure, I made a deal, but it was fair and square.
Gentlemen, this was done at the worst possible time. You all know that the government has just cut back the beef allotment to the Apaches. But you may not know that because of this, Chief Mangus has sent word to me that they're about to take to the warpath.
Well, I didn't know nothing about that, Slaughter.
Therefore, I move that T.J. Campbell be expelled from this association.
I second the motion, Luke.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Well, just a minute now, Slaughter.
All those in favor. So be it. All right, Campbell. You can leave now. This is a closed meeting.
Well, I ain't leaving.
Aren't you?
You want me to follow him, Luke?
No, Wichita. Gentlemen, I'm sure you realize that we must act as an organized group in this matter, not as individuals. We need the Apaches' grazing land, but we must be prepared to pay for it. Good. Wichita and I will go out to the reserve and try to contact Chief Mangus, providing you men agree to honor whatever arrangements I make. Then the meeting's adjourned. Now, Wichita, you ready to travel?
Sure. Oh, sure, Luke. I gave up sleeping the day I hired on with you. Lead me to my horse. Uh-oh, Luke. Looks like them Apaches has got a reception committee all set up for us.
Yeah.
You know, I learned one thing a long time ago, Luke.
What's that, Wichita?
There just ain't no good way of creeping up on an Injun village.
How's that?
Well, figure it out. Come at the village from upwind, the dogs tip them off. Come from downwind, your courage goes back on you, and you go home smelling like you've been sleeping with a coyote.
Nothing is simple for you, is it, Wichita?
No.
Yeah, stop here. Chief Mangus is riding towards us.
White man brave to come to Apache village.
Great Chief Mangus fails to use the name of his friend, Slaughter. I come to talk to the chief of the Apaches.
Time for talk is past. Time now for death. I cannot promise to stop my braves whose children have swollen bellies of hunger.
I come from the Great Association of Cattlemen. We offer you beef for your hungry children in return for the right to graze our cattle on your lands.
No. We are sick with promises. Is not White Father in Washington bigger than your association?
Our White Father is too far away. The people I come from are here. They wish to help.
My braves have demanded war. They will take more of your cattle than you will give.
You do, and the army from Fort Huachuca will sweep through your villages.
Pony soldiers must find village first.
Then Mangus prefers to let sick women and children of his nation run from soldiers. Come on, Wichita.
Slaughter!
What is it?
You are right. I am old. I will listen to one more promise. Wars bring only sadness. Come. One more promise. Yatuma Costa!
We powwowed for hours. First Mangus and I, then Mangus and his braves. Finally, long after dark, the chief rose and spoke to me.
I have told my brave Slaughter as you have told me. Your cattle make graves from the San Simon Valley to the Huachuca Mountains. You will pay Apache Nation 2 cents an acre, one half in yearling cows. You may build fences, but must leave them when treaty end. Treaty last for 10 years. Chief Mangus be dead soon. Bring peace and food to people first.
The name of Chief Mangus will be honored many years.
Slaughter, shake hand. Make treaty come true.
Great Chief Mangus must not shake hand of Slaughter.
Lona.
Lona go away from tribe for a long time.
Lona come back with treaty for Apache Nation. Better than promises of this man.
No, Chief Mangus. Lona wishes to take your place.
What is this treaty Lona brings?
Man called Campbell will give $50,000 to Apache for grazeland.
Campbell lies, Chief Mangus. The whole association of cattlemen would not offer that much money. It wouldn't pay.
How do I know who to believe?
If I prove Campbell lies, will you then shake hands on the treaty I offered you?
I cannot stay the anger of my braves for long. Morning's first light must bring peace or war.
Then I'll be back before sunrise.
Yeah, that's right, boys. Drinks on T.J. Campbell tonight. Now, your glasses all full? All right, then, boys, raise them high. We're drinking a toast to Tombstone, greatest town west of Mississippi. Raise them high, boy, like this. Who done that?
Campbell.
Who? Oh. Why, Luke. It wasn't a nice thing to do. Shoot the glass out of a man's hand?
Feeling good tonight, aren't you?
What do you mean by that?
What are you celebrating?
Nothing. Just buying the boys a drink.
That can wait, Campbell.
Huh?
You're coming with me.
With you? Where are we going?
To the Apaches. They're waiting for you.
Oh. Hey, Luke, come on. Have a drink. Tell the boys you're just joking.
I'm not. Get outside and get on that horse.
Boys. Boys, you going to let Slaughter get away with this? Are you?
All right, Campbell. You had your answer. Move.
Slaughter, no. Slaughter, you can't do this.
Just keep going, Campbell.
Yeah, them Injuns want to talk to you, Campbell, about that $50,000 you offered them.
That's right. Seems that Lona told them you'd have the money with you this morning.
That's a lie. I never told him such a thing.
Well, they're expecting the money today, Campbell.
I ain't going in there. Slaughter, them Apaches, In a killing mood when they're dancing like that.
Why should you be afraid? You've got a big treaty for them.
I tell you, Slaughter, I ain't going near them engines.
The next one goes through your head, Campbell. Now move! Come on. Get off your horse, Campbell.
Yeah.
Is this the man called Campbell?
He talking to me, Slaughter?
I'd say he was, Campbell.
Did you bring money for the treaty?
Slaughter, you know I haven't got that kind of money.
It's out of my hands, Campbell.
Then you cannot make treaty now. It was all a lie.
Yeah, it was a lie.
Chief Mangus, will you now shake hands on our treaty?
I believe my friend, Luke Slaughter. I will trust your word. The treaty is as we said.
But there must be no revenge on Campbell. We'll take care of him.
The word of a brave man is accepted. I shake your hand.
Well, look there, Luke. Colonel Nickerson's horse outside the association office.
Yeah.
What are you aiming to do with me?
I've done it, Campbell. You're out of the association. Every cattleman in the territory will know what kind of an operator you are. Whoa! Oh.
Slaughter. Slaughter, that's just the same as putting me out of business.
It's a little late to worry about that, Campbell. Come on, Wichita. Let's see what's on the colonel's mind. Hiya, Nick.
Morning, Luke. I just dropped in to tell you I got word from Washington. They say it's all right for you to make whatever arrangements you can with Chief Mangus.
Well, we just come to...
Wichita. Thanks, Nick. That's good to know. I'll have to get started on that one of these days.
Yeah, you do that, Luke. If you haven't already.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington, was written by Tom Hanley and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Junius Matthews, Jack Moyles, Sam Edwards, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Ralph Moody, and Norm Alden, with music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. You can find more from the Silver Theater, Luke Slaughter, past episodes of this show, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link to our Shoutcast stream there, and our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows. Would like to help keep it all going. Give that a click. Thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.